Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
What are we doing?
No.
Talking about
vlogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Everybody's here for Pathfinder Academy, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Welcome, welcome. So I guess the first question is, raise your hand if you know what the Pathfinder Society Academy is.
The first question is, who are you?
Okay, fair. I am Linda Zayas Palmer, and I am a developer at Paizo.
And I'm Tanya Wooldridge, Organized Play Coordinator.
Hey.
Yep, so.
Yeah.
Okay,
second question.
Fair.
There
so,
you go. Okay.
So, who all here has heard of Pathfinder Society Academy?
Seen it in its vague iteration.
Or has heard of Kids Track?
All right, cool. Kids Track came of a brainchild of one of our now venture captains, who's a venture lieutenant at the time, Lucas Servideo, who said, hey, wouldn't it be really nice to offer some things for our younger set of gamers? And he went out and he solicited some writers and he asked some friends for some help and he put it all together and ran it at a Gen Con and it was extremely popular. We did that for a couple of years, added another set of lessons onto it, and every year we go back to Gen Con, we get new kids, and we get them saying we want to play more, give us more. So we kind of got to the point where an ad hoc program that was put together by our core volunteers wasn't necessarily serving what we could do, and so last year we took a look at Paizo's resources and said, let's actually make this a thing, let's put some focus on.
So we took those lessons and those beginner and advanced Kids Track lessons that go together with the beginner box bash demos, and we brought those into the company. We looked at them, we brought them into our styles, we thought about, okay, you know, how does this look? Let's make it look like our things. Let's make sure that we file off all the edges, that we have all the resources that people need. So we did that, and then we also decided to expand it as well with another set of lessons. So overall, with the program, you start off with the beginner box, and everybody's got a beginner box character, and it introduces the game in a way where you don't have to take in everything all at once. You get to sort of sit down at a table and be like, okay, I've got a character. What are the very basics I need to know in order to be able to play? I don't need to know all the frills yet. I need to know, okay, here's how I move, you know, here's a little bit of how I can interact with the world. And then as you move along, you can learn a lot of different pieces of the character. So you can learn about, like, what kinds of skills is your character good at? What kinds of things can I do? I'm a cleric. What does that mean? I'm okay. Can I heal? Can I cast spells? That kind of thing. So the beginner set of lessons is really designed to introduce the fundamentals of the game in a step-by-step fashion. Then after the beginner set of lessons, we have the advanced set of lessons, which is designed to introduce a few more of the aspects of the game. They take you through leveling up your character up to level 3. And when you do that, you get to see you level it up piece by piece and get to see, okay, both what goes into leveling up a character and what goes into sort of getting to choose, make decisions for your character for the first time. How do you do that? And also, how do the classes start to get stronger and things like that? Okay, you've seen, if you're playing the wizard before, you've seen a first level spell, what that can do, but what can a second level spell do? So you get to sort of see that progression of getting stronger and those stronger enemies that you get to face as you go along with that. The third set of lessons, which is the one that we added, is the transition set of lessons. So if you're familiar with the quests that we do, the packs of short little one-hour adventures like Honor's Echo, for example, then that's similar to those. And the transitions lessons introduce some of the concepts that are in the core rulebook, but aren't in the beginner box. So, for example, the beginner box does not have attacks of opportunity. If you walk past somebody, they don't get to take a swing at you or anything like that. But what the transitions lessons are designed to do is to in a very approachable way introduce some of those key pieces, those key differences, so that you get to see them, you get to play with them, you get to do an adventure that's sort of built around them. And then from there, it's like, okay, you know, I've got this experience in beginner box. I know what those main differences are. And now at that point, then you're ready to play a Pathfinder RPG character as well. So that's the piece that we wanted to bring to that. And the idea there is that, from there, you have a strong transition point to go into the Pathfinder Society at large. But when we consider this, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, our younger players have tables that are available for them that are going to be run by people who, you know, are taking the age of the players into account and are going to be able to run that, in an appropriate fashion for that. So we also have tables, as you may have seen here, that are set aside for, okay, you know, this is a Pathfinder Society Academy table, so we know that this is a kid-friendly table, and this is going to be a good place to learn how to play the game and play with other people who are more your age and that sort of thing. Another thing that we are looking at as part of the Academy program is young GMs. So if there's a young player who wants to make that step over to GMing, we want to make sure that the tables they get are going to be made up of people who, you know, they recognize that it's a young GM, and they're not gonna pull out like, well, let me argue with you about this rule on page 47 for 5 minutes or whatever. That they're gonna really make that be a good experience. And we want to make sure then that those young GMs, if they want it, can have the resources of more experienced GMs to give them advice, but also to let them grow and develop their skills.
Our youngest Pathfinder GM was 9 when she started. She is fast approaching 5 stars. Yeah.
Well, how old is she now?
12. So she has done the equivalent of what some of our adults are doing. And one of the things that we've been talking to her on is what made your experience easier and what has made it more difficult to do this kind of run. And one of the things she said was she runs mostly for the crew up in Ottawa, and they know her and they know her style and they can give her that feedback. She's got some extremely experienced GMs that have been playing since season 0. That are mentoring her on it, but she said that in itself helped. She's gone down to Gen Con and GM'd, and she had a couple of tables that gave her a lot of grief, and that was partly too where we started looking at putting the PSA designator on it. Now, by saying it's a Pathfinder Society Academy or PSA table, we're not saying adults can't play there. Mm-hmm. What we are saying is an adult should have a youth to play there, because we don't want just random collections of adults thinking this looks like a good table to join. Mm-hmm. So it's designed for the family also as well, that might have the younger player as well as mom, dad, pieces there. So, you know, we're looking at that. One of the other things that I'm going to step away from the actual program for a minute and talk about our GMs and the people that are involved in this program. We have launched a nonprofit company called the Organized Play Foundation. It is going to be our volunteer arm going from here forward. So any volunteer that is a GM for any of our society programs, Starfinder Society, Pathfinder Society, Pathfinder Adventure Card Guild, are all going to be moved from Paizo into this Organized Play Foundation. There's a lot of reasoning for this that I don't want to get into here. I am more than happy to take that discussion elsewhere. It just doesn't apply to Pathfinder Society Academy. But one of the things that we're also going to start doing is society GMs that are adults and society volunteers that are adults are going to receive a background check.
If you want to do things for the academy, to be clear, So that we want to make sure that if we have adults that are GMing for children, that you know that there's going to be a list of GMs that we can say these adults have gone through a background check, and so we know that you know you don't have anyone unsafe near your children.
We take our responsibility to our younger gamers very seriously, and it is up to us to give the best place and the best space that we can to this up and coming generation. So we're looking at ways to make that just, you know, do the right thing. So we will be doing that. If you're interested in it, it's got a new website now. It's organizedplayfoundation.org, and all of our volunteering will go through there. The website is still in its rudimentary stage. It's got a contact page, and you can put your contact information in there, and then I will cycle back out to it and be able to hook you up and get things going. But we are moving our volunteers into that aspect. A lot of it is designed on Boy Scouts of America, mm-hmm. Girl Scouts of America, those kind of youth organizations. We're using them as a lot of our leads on how to put this one together.
So, yeah. Do you have a copy of that?
I don't.
Okay. So maybe turn that around for that. You may have noticed too, and if you didn't see them, you can pick one up in the ballroom. We have these new brochures, which are ways for you to keep track of all of the adventures that you've played as a part of the those introductory adventures. And then on the inside, you've got a section for the beginner lessons, the advanced lessons, and the transitions lessons. And what those have are checkboxes where you can check off the adventures you've played. And there's also a short little summary at the bottom so that if you come back later and you're like, what were we doing again? There's just a few sentences to give you an idea. And one thing we've got on the back of this, so that's the inside. We've got all the goblins.
There's a goblin theme in Pathfinder Society Academy, if you hadn't noticed. Mm-hmm. You know, Paizo Goblins.
And then on the back of that, what we've got is we have a little mini survey you can take to help determine what kind of character you might want to play. So it has a few questions on there that are like, okay, what do I want to be able to do? Do I want to be able to blast my enemies with spells, or do I want to have an animal friend, or do I want to be able to heal and help my friends, and those sorts of things. So you can use that as a way to sort of quickly help narrow down what kind of character you might want to play.
So then we get to what's the status of Pathfinder Society Academy right now, because we launched it originally last Gen Con. We ran it through rigorous testing with lots of younger folk. And the answer came back, we don't understand how to do a few things, some things aren't quite where you need them, and so we've been trying to incorporate that for this year. One of the things that, the last piece of it, because we have gone through and Linda's already redeveloped the lessons, is to write a guide to Pathfinder Society Academy. It is not nearly as intense as the guide to Roleplaying Guild, the Roleplaying Guild guide, but it is still several pages, and it goes through everything on what it is, where it is, how to run it, some of the intricacies, some of the things we're talking to you here about.
Give some suggestions for organizing it as well, like how do you, if you're setting it, so it's both like, it has a section for players, okay, so how do you get started, how does this work, what are the lessons, how do I play, that kind of thing. It has a section for GMs that discusses GMing for it, either if you're an adult GM or a kid GM. As a section for organizers, how do I organize this at a convention? And then the last section has is sort of a, so when you're looking at running a standard Pathfinder Society scenario for a younger crowd. So in general, our scenarios are written sort of at a PG-13 level, so to be appropriate for teenagers and adults. But there are some scenarios that have some content that might not be appropriate for our younger players. So what we have is we have a list of all the scenarios from season zero to the end of season 8 that we think, you know, before you run this for a younger group, like you should really think hard about how you're going to have to modify this to make sure this is going to be okay. And this also helps too with when you're considering what might be a good scenario for a younger GM to run, like, you know, maybe not that one. Yeah.
Where's that list found?
Part of the guide.
It's in the document that is currently one of my main projects that I'm working on.
When we put this all together, what it will be is one big download available from Paizo.com that will have all three lessons, It will have the three pieces of quest, the beginner box quest, the advanced quest, and the what we call Angel's Flight, which is the transitions quest. It will have the guide, it will have this trifold, and it will all be right there. It will go up, and then we'll have an answer on it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it, just like with our other scenarios, if you are planning it for convention, if you're running it for a convention, we will give it to your GMs. If it's just something you would like to take and run at home or run on your own, then it probably will have that $4.99 cost to it.
And we're looking also looking at, you know, if people want to run this in schools or libraries, we want to take this as a way to also help expand our way to reach out to kids in a lot of different places.
It is a core campaign situation in that once they get to transitions, we are opening up 7 of the 9 core classes to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have decided not to put a paladin in there because things with a paladin can be very wonky. And also sometimes you get that very rigid code issue that doesn't translate as well to the younger players and how they want to do things. I believe the other one we took out was monk. Because
yeah.
It didn't have the same power level, and we wanted to kind of start everyone on the same basic of I can hit something, I can do something, I'm not feeling like I'm sitting at the table waiting to come into my own, because they will start with the first level core pre-gens.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, the players are more than welcome to expand out into what we call the norm, the
mm-hmm.
RPG mode, and start picking up other choices. But they are subject to the same rules as the society, in that they would have to own the sources and be able to have them. So it kind of starts very small with the younger set and can graduate up. So that 16, 17 range is still applicable. They're still getting something from playing in the Academy games. Does this mean a 15-year-old cannot play at a normal table? No.
No.
This is a personal choice for each player involved or each group that's running it, on whether they want to run in society mode, whether they want to run in academy mode. We are trying to put all the tools out there and see what people want. Does this mean that someone that's 25 cannot play academy? No. If you have a group that's especially schools or universities, they're just getting started, you want to introduce things, feel free to take the lessons and use them. They are written with a 10 to 12.
Yeah, they're generally assuming. So in the lessons, there's usually sections where which say things like, you know, if you're running for younger players, do this. If you're running for players who are a little bit older, do this. So as an example, there's a lesson that's about role playing and coming up with a personality for your character. So it suggests, like, you know, if you've got players who are like on the youngest end of the scale, more like 6 or so, like you might help them by writing cards that have different things, like, you know, my character is cheerful, my character is excited, my character is this sort of thing. Whereas if you're playing with older players, you might do something like, okay, you know, what's like a movie or TV or book or comic book or what's a character that you think is really cool that you might think would be nice to play something like, or something like that. So you can draw on different sources of inspiration depending upon the age.
So, James, you had a question?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go for it. Let's start with questions. We'll see how we can answer.
So, will they be able to, in terms of organized play, will they be able to play the same character from the kids' track into organized play scenarios?
Yes, because Kids Track, the beginner, starts with the beginner box pregens, which are level 1.
Mm-hmm.
Advanced goes to the beginner box pregens, which are level 3.
Mm-hmm.
Transitions goes back to a core society pregen that is level 1. And they come out the other side of transitions if they get their full trifold completed with a boon that allows them to make a level 2 character of their own.
Yes.
So then they will walk right into society and be able to take credit. But this brings up a caveat to that, in that our website does not stand for, because of the net laws that we work from in the United States, and I'm not sure what the other countries' laws are, under 13s, you have to have a disclaimer or you have to be over 13 to register on a website, and Paizo is not set up for the younger
mm-hmm.
people, so what we're suggesting is that the parents can register the number, or the kid can, the youth, I should say, not kid, can keep the number, and then at 13 register it themselves. Everything will be in our database, and it will all of a sudden populate, and they'll go, wow, I played a lot of games.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so it is not mandatory for there to be any online registration for players of this age, and if you do it, it's a parent registration. Yes?
We got locked outside. This question may have been asked already. Are the children allowed to go through Academy more than once with several different characters, or
am perfectly fine with that one and them being a replayable type evergreen scenario, because I think that as long as they're going through with a different type or a different style, we can all benefit from refresher lessons. I was reading the Attack of Opportunity section and the Splash Weapon section going, oh yeah, that would be good to know, and I'm 40 plus, so I don't see any reason why these wouldn't be treated as an evergreen for the youth.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to write that in.
Yes, we do. We need to write that in. I'm going to make a note of that right now. Thank you. Excellent point.
My question is, are there going to be scenarios specifically written for the Academy? Like, is Academy going to be a whole separate section of scenarios that can be done specifically for a younger audience? Or
no, at this point in time, we don't have that capacity. So the best thing we can do is look at what our two scenarios of Pathfinder are and make the adjustments as we need to or make the commentary on that. To answer that, will be a version of this in all likelihood for Starfinder. We haven't gotten far enough down that actual path in making Starfinder Society to say 100% that there will be a Starfinder Society Academy. But if this takes off the way that we are looking at it possibly doing, we will always mirror it and match it. Because the guide would remain the same. It would just be saying that, yes, now you can have Starfinders and we're going to use the quest.
I understand that the intention is for the younger crowd. However, what about those of our players who are brand new to Pathfinder, never seen it before in their lifetime, and would like to run through Academy? Is there a special clause for that?
The only clause we were saying earlier is that they're written for that 10 to 12 reading level. So some older players are welcome to play through it. They just might feel that some of the writing comes across as, hey.
Are they also allowed to apply that second level?
Yep. If you have a Pathfinder Society number, you can run through Academy. It is aimed at the youth. Now, that would need to be a situation where you're running it in a store, or you're running it and you need, because if you put the PSA tag on it, it's going to say it's ready for kids 6 to 17. If you just say we are utilizing the lessons and running them, but don't put the PSA tag on it, then you'd be okay. Because anytime, what we're trying to get people to recognize is anything labeled PSA is for the 6 to 17 set. If you just say, we're going to run, you know, a training seminar, and you know that you're running beginner or advanced or transitions, that's fine from an organizing standpoint. But from if you're going to put it in a con book and it has PSA on it, I'm asking that it's 6 to 17 so they know that that's their area.
Kevin,
yeah.
What you said to him about, or said to whoever it was, about the 13-year-olds having online... you guys really made a catch-22, though, on cons, because I couldn't give my kids an event unless I created events for, or, you know, basically an account for them, even though they were under the age, and obviously they didn't have an email address, so then I ended up, you know, creating email addresses for them, and then I assigned their Pathfinder Society numbers to those accounts because I was forced to make an account for them anyways. Why not assign that? And they're obviously under the age of 13. So that might be something worth looking at for cons, of having an add-on to an adult account, which is how I assumed it was going to be, that it'd be under my account and I could just sign them up for events, but I had to actually make their own accounts.
At this point in time, the way our database is structured, I don't think we can do that. We've asked. We actually looked at this several ways because we're trying to tack something onto an already existing format.
Yeah.
So the best thing we can say there is the parents hold those accounts until they're ready to let their minors, or parents have that right to make the account and hand it to their minors, but that is a parental individual decision. The only convention I know of that makes you have an account on Paizo.com is PaizoCon, because of the way their ticketing system works. I know Gen Con does not make you do that, so... Those are the two biggest ones, I think, that we'll see Academy. But we are investigating the event system right now, and I'm testing its parameters and seeing just how much I can make it do. And if I can get the tech team to be able to do that, I would like to, so that we don't have to link them together. Because, yeah, we don't want to make that loop. We want to say, if the parent wants to make an account, the parent can make the account. If the parent doesn't want to make the account, we'll just give a paper number, and it'll catch up eventually. Because as with Pathfinder Society, the paper will trump the electronic all the time. Yeah, yes.
Pathfinder Academy, are their first level characters different than the first level pre-gens that you and I see after transitions, the ones that we use in Pathfinder Society as opposed to PSN?
No, the transitions ones will be the same pre-gens, but it will only be 7 of the 9 cores. We are taking out Monk and we are taking out Paladin.
You talked a little bit about some content not being viewed accessible. When things are published in the future, I imagine you'll retcon everything, but when things are published in the future, is there going to be a published like scenario rating so that, like, let's say we end up with young GMs that we've trained and they want to go to the store and get things to run for other young players, will they be able to go to the store and be like, oh, this is a good thing, or will they just have to roll the dice and guess?
They would need to. There's been a lot of internal discussion on did we want to put that on our scenarios, and the final decision was no. They don't want to put them on the scenarios themselves. So the best we are going to do is maintain this list, and when we put the product pages up, we will know, Linda, and by extension, John and the rest of the team, know what's going to be in them, and we will be able to add that immediately online to a list of... So we will maintain on the Pathfinder Society Academy piece of the Pathfinder Society page on paizo.com, we'll be able to update that list and say, here's one that you may want to watch, but that's the best we can do.
And we can make sure that, you know, because there's also the question of, like, okay, well, what if it just hasn't been updated or whatever? We can make sure that that has, like, okay, as this is up to date as of this point, so that you don't have that question of, like, oh, they released one and it has inappropriate for children content and it just didn't get updated.
So is it going to fall on our venture officers to hold on to the Pathfinder Society Academy stuff and all of the scenarios that are written for PSA? And will it be our responsibility to dole those out to our minor GMs running Pathfinder Academy? Or
it follows the same way that all the venture officers can do it. You can provide a print copy, or we can drop it into your GM accounts through the request form.
Right, but so if the parents wanted to buy something for PSA or one of our other players...
It will be available. Once we package it and put it online, it will be available for parents to buy.
Yes, parents can buy it.
So it's not going to be convention
exclusive in the least, though.
No. We expect this to go up sometime in July, officially, so that we can get it to all of the Gen Con GMs.
And when it does, I'll be writing a blog to announce it.
Yep. Yeah, we will announce it with fanfare and much excitement that this project has finally gotten to completion stage after about 2 years of development.
We're very proud of your brainchild.
Okay, I have to say this now. It might have been something that I said, hey, this would be really cool to take on. But after taking my head and hitting it against the desk because I just couldn't figure out where to go with it, I kind of looked at Linda and Linda went, I've got ideas! And it's no longer, it might be my brainchild, but it's her baby. She has taken it and written it and developed it and is truly the lead on it. So, you know, it was me going, hey, this would be a really awesome idea.
You guys are doing an awesome job.
So,
Thank you.
We appreciate it. But, I think Linda's enjoyed having a project that is like, she's like, it's mine.
Can work on this, and I trained as a teacher as well. So for me, it's really awesome to be able to be working on something that also has the educational focus and is also going to be able to serve our younger players as well. Yes.
As a little point in tongue in cheek and haha, are we not including the monk and the paladin because of Sarjan and Seela's voracious verbiage or not?
No, it was because of the power and the abilities and the code, the paladin codes. Mm-hmm. It just did not seem to fit as well. Now, once they get to that level 2, they can do anything they want. This is specifically, we're not including them for transitions. Okay. That is the only piece. Because mechanically, they have some pieces to them that can be a little confusing for... They're not as straight up, I'm going to go hit things with my swords. Okay, guess what?
I'm going to do my flurry of blows. Yeah. Do I do this or do I do that?
And can I stun you and can I do this? And there was enough mechanics that we wanted to introduce the main and then go to those ones. Yeah, Corey.
Well, if you're thinking about those two mechanic issues, can we jump down the barbarian a little bit?
No. If we have a table of raging youth barbarians, go for it.
I still hate the rage mask.
Yeah, the rage map can be a... Now, one of the things that we've got working on as part of the Organized Play Foundation and the volunteers are able to contribute pieces to it is some spell lists and some math conversions that will make it easier for... Just like we have worksheets for Pathfinder Society that everyone goes on and goes, community use, let's borrow, let's borrow, let's borrow. They're going to make those... People are already making those for PSA.
Where do you want us to post our cheat sheets?
We'll figure that one out on the boards because I'm sure it will go through one of the volunteer-driven or one of the community-made hosting sites for that one. And again, we can link those through in the blog when we announce all of it. But I'm never going to tell our community that loves these games so well, oh, you can't make us a tool that's going to make life easier.
how dare you improve people's game experience by volunteering your own time?
Yeah.
No, we love it.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier the screening process.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest that you guys have some sort of recurring annual or whatever. So...
Mm-hmm.
One screen is not necessarily adequate.
No, it is
not. It needs to be done on a recycling, you know, basis.
We're looking at the venture officers now on a yearly basis, so in all likelihood, we will be doing all of this as one lump sum thing probably in January. I'll get to sit down and do all of that. So.
Please don't fire
me. I have no plans on firing anyone. Since I didn't hire you, I can't fire you. Would you like to remain in the program?
Absolutely.
All right, awesome. We're good. You're here.
The strategy guide,
yes.
I asked a question about that. I feel like the strategy guide is really for beginning new players.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It kind of decreases in value the more you play Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. Does the survey, the Academy survey, tie into that at all, or is it like... Is it familiar? So
it's,
if you hand a kid a strategy guide after they came out of the academy, would they be like, oh, I've seen some of these questions?
It's intended to, it's just three questions because it's one panel on the back of a brochure. It's intended to be a vastly simplified version of the strategy guide survey. You know, if you have the time and ability to give the strategy guide survey, that's going to give a lot more thorough information. But if you just have the time for, you know, 5 minutes, just be like, boom, 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 okay, then that makes that accessible. And that's also going to be part of that package as well. So you don't have to have the book for that.
One of the other things we're looking at suggesting for conventions is having a, and you'll see it, that we have it here, separate tokens for the prize table for the Academy. We actually went out and got white chips and have PSA written on them so that when the youth earn them and come up to the table, it notifies our prize table that they want to choose out of the kids' box or out of the youth box. So we've set aside strategy guides, folios, goblins, plushies, the mini mates. It's not as applicable when you're using the gift certificates that Paizo sends out to do this, but that way we'll provide a list of maybe some of the things they might want to look at online.
So what are you saying? What are you saying in the future? Are you saying today at PaizoCon?
It started today here.
They gave them boots.
Okay.
And I was like, great, my kids have these boots.
Okay.
So that's with a PSA token.
Yeah, I will go talk to the prize table and come back and see me later this evening.
Okay.
And we'll.
Because I was kind of like, are you sure? They're not going to need. These are goats. You roll the three,
yep.
You get the three boots.
I will have
like,
a conversation
please.
With them because the issue being they don't have as much use for that until
right.
they hit that certain level of, oh, I've got my own character. Now this makes sense. Otherwise, it's, I can make an airplane.
Sometimes on the first day when you introduce things, a few wires get crossed. But thank you for bringing that to our attention so we can fix that.
As a silly question, for those of us that are here at the conventions, we like the food for it too. Are the adults allowed to order off the kids' menu for prizes, or is that limited to just the PSA tickets?
Talk to me on Monday morning on what's left in the kids' box, and we'll see if the adults can order off the kids' menu. So, because I don't want to take a lot back. But I also don't want to run out.
Yeah. It's QB.
How can we not
let
that?
Please,
absolutely
rule. Exactly. But we've had some situations over the years where a parent and a youth will go up and the youth will roll the dice and the parent will go, get me the core rule book. And the youth's like, I don't want that book. I want the goblin. No, you can't have the goblin. So that's what we're kind of encouraging is to point them towards things that may be better suited for them. Okay.
So, in case, like, you don't hit the July deadline for this, I know that Gen Con is going to pull a lot of time. Do you have a conservative estimate of where it might be available? This is something that would be nice in our community because of how we currently organize. So
I think the answer is we're within... We don't get the choice not to hit the Gen Con.
Yeah, we do. We don't. It's kind of we consider it sort of like okay, yeah. Well, we're going to not release any. It's just a scenario, you know. No, we're and you know, looking at our schedule in general, I'm feeling pretty good about our ability to get out everything we need to for Gen Con in a timely manner to all of our GMs.
It hasn't gone out this year because I am not a writer.
Because you are so busy.
No, because I am an organizer at heart. And I can write, but it takes a lot more time, focus, and energy for me to put words on a paper that's not a blog post or a, hey, wouldn't you like to see this thing? But to sit down and do the technical writing that needed to be in the guide, I was struggling with it. And
I
so,
want to personally apologize to everybody in this room. I send Tanya at least 20 emails a week.
So, you know, between the email volume and other things that needed to get done, I just kept looking at it going, I'd really like to, but. And so the minute it got turned over to Linda, we saw in a week, she was like, here, I got a rough draft, let's talk. So it is moving forward at a pace that has not been seen since last Gen Con. And so we don't think that we're going to have a problem with that. It's already budgeted into the editing and development pieces as well in the company. So.
I know that you said that there may not be a Starfinder Academy. However, once the kids start to catch on to the sci-fi fever, what are we going to do about transitioning from one to the other?
The answer will be we can put, without the formal academy being set up, we can put Starfinder quests and Starfinder scenarios under the umbrella of an academy table and just treat it the same way. So where you might schedule a table of Honors Echo for PSA, well, go ahead and schedule a table of Into the Unknown for PSA. Just label it.
I have a question kind of outside of PSA. Is Paizo as a whole looking to do any more beginning box adventures, or is this kind of your stopgap to that? Is a PSA adventure?
I don't think it's on Eric's radar that I've heard yet. That being said, he's not locked in the 2018 schedule. And is always looking at things that may or may not get produced. Because with using the Humble Bundle and having the beginner box be the reward for that a year ago, we've got a lot of players out there that have played through the beginner box and are what next. So not that I know of, but it's not never a known type thing. I've also heard...
They're looking for things, you can always point them our way.
Exactly, and that's just it.
But I'm just wondering if that's a line that you guys are looking at doing.
There's other pieces out there. One of the other pieces, too, is that Organized Play Foundation is launching with the Paizo Organized Play, but it is created in such a way that it could expand to any game's Organized Play. Mm-hmm. We just need to work out the bugs and the rollout and make sure that we have a process for it. So I know that it's something that... Lisa and Eric are both working with me on very closely. So that might be an option as well, is we'll move some more of these kind of things there and say, okay, well, if you enjoyed this, there's these youth games that you can play here, and there's these ones that you can play here. We just need to get all of the pieces together to get to that point. Because I know you've got it's Legendary Games.
Legendary Games makes Legendary Beginnings.
Right, exactly.
It's all ages, but obviously we keep children in mind when writing them.
Yep, so... That's definitely an option as well, because there's a lot of good third-party things out there that are available. We don't need to do everything. We can definitely say, hey, there's awesome resources. Let's reuse them.
Mm-hmm.
So. How does Pathfinder Academy, Society Academy, interact with the standard and core modes? You talked about core a little bit, so I may have missed something.
So in general, we recommend that that if you're just getting started with the game, particularly if you're one of these younger players, we recommend that you do core, but we don't mandate that you do core. So there can be, you know, there can be core PSA and standard PSA mode.
It's really what your area needs. The thing is, it's like with some of our other programs we've rolled out recently, it's what each area needs is what we want you to be able to use the tools to do. So if you've got a group that is, we read all the books and we know everything and we want some kind of official recognition of our tables, then let them do everything. If you've got a group that goes, this is brand new and we have no idea where to start, well, let's start with the baby steps and move on.
So the problem that we're having in Utah is our younger players actually know more than our older players, mm-hmm. and we're having trouble with the older players wanting to play core and not getting it. So if we ran them through Academy with the kids at the table, mm-hmm. we can get the whole, this is what I was talking about, mom mm-hmm. and dad, but if we run core or if we run advanced or campaign mm-hmm. mode or whatever, does that really fit with the ideology behind PSA?
The problem we had with PSA is it was scattershot because we wanted it to cover this group and this group and this group and this group, and we finally sat down and said, we can't be everything to everyone. Mm-hmm. Let's pull it in and make it the 6 to 17s. Let's focus on that group. Now, as with all of our things that we do, if you want to take it and use it in a different method, you can. But society is, the Pathfinder Society Academy is technically for 6 to 17.
And that's one thing I found in writing it, that it basically felt like writing two programs at the same time. Like, referencing some of those things. It's like, okay, if your players are adults, then this. If your players are kids, then this. And it was just like, this doesn't feel cohesive.
Especially if you just have, like, one family, you might want to pick up one of the legendary beginning cards, because they have GM notes in there specifically for beginners, assuming they're adults, not just children.
See, the problem is, across the Wasatch Front, we have 27 adults who have no idea how to grapple, and we have about 30 kids that want to play with their mothers and fathers who have absolutely no idea how to grapple. And so we're hoping that Pathfinder Academy can bridge that.
My question is there a little something at the end, like at the end of the beginner one, like the end of the intermediate, where it talks about how to fill out the chronicle sheet, what each thing means, and how to keep track of them? Because I've got adults and kids who are having organization problems mm-hmm. that don't understand what's going on. And it's probably just me not explaining it very well, but for me, this is just a common sense thing.
What it would be in the guide to Pathfinder Society Academy, mm-hmm. and we will lift those pages out of the Role Playing Guild guide and move them into, so it's right there, and everyone can see it. That's not a problem at all.
I haven't read the adult guide for this, so I don't know if it's in there, but somebody gave me a heads up long ago when I started to always have, like, keep my first level character fine mm-hmm. and then level up and create a copy of it. Is that in there?
I believe it is, but I will double check that one.
And then, they, you know,
before we publish the season 9 guide, I'll make sure that that's in there as well.
That would be helpful because then if I, as an adult, have mm-hmm. to look at what my kid did to level up, you know, it's a lot easier to compare 1 and 2 or 2 and 3
versus
we missed that instead of trying to, especially if you're comparing level 5 when you've already leveled up a few times.
It is in there. It is a small blurb that says, we recommend.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bold it, highlight it, 14-point font it.
Humongous whole page.
Exactly. We probably got time for another one or two questions mm-hmm. before they kick us out.
So you mentioned you start with the beginner box. Is mm-hmm. the beginner box required? Are other materials required beyond the...
You do not need to have the beginner box. It has the bashes that were written, the quest piece of it, is written for the supplies that are in the beginner box. But if you have a blank flip mat mm-hmm. and some pawns, you can do the quest just fine.
Do you have a blank foot mat, you have pawns, you got the dice, you got the, you know, the beginner box pre-generated characters.
But if you want a product that you can just take off, throw the adventure on it, and walk, then you can get the box, and it would be welcome, too.
Assuming that you're playing one lesson of Academy per day, how many days would it take from zero to the confirmation?
I believe they're 4, 5, 5, so 14 different individual lessons.
We did like 4 a day in hour sessions. So, I mean, assuming they finished 3 sessions, they can probably finish the.
It is 14 1-hour sessions.
Yes.
Is what it's written for.
So, if you're doing like one a week, probably comfortably tell somebody within 3 to 5 months there. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be at their confirmation and get their field promotion from generic. Yep.
So, you only do the one hour really to think about it. Mm-hmm. So you probably just squeeze them two, maybe 2 hours is for a kid is pretty standard.
Yeah. The other thing to speak to is, like at Gen Con, we had to schedule the blocks in 5-hour blocks because that's how they came out. I couldn't make 2.5-hour blocks. So one of the things I've said is, if I schedule a 5-hour, the kids can come and go. Don't feel, because of the way the trifold is made now and you can check off individually what you've done, don't feel you have to sit there for 5 hours. If you have a 6-year-old, 1 hour might be the right attention span. If you've got a 17-year-old that wants 5 hours, that might be the right one.
Today
I did a 5-hour day. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So you have no problems,
yeah.
But my daughter after 2 hours is like, I'm done, Mom. Tap out, I need to go. So there is no rule that they have to sit there for the entire block. It's play what you want to play. The other thing we've said is give them a 5 minute stand up, move around, play head, shoulders, knees, and toes. You know, jog in place, do something to burn that energy before you sit them back down.
What advice are you giving to your adventure captains or GMs or whoever's running this? If people come to the table and they do want to do things like grapple or skill checks or something like that, even though maybe in the first, like when they did the first one, there was a lot of stuff they already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of like, and I love their GMs, we're going to take this the wrong way. But he was like, well, I have to teach this. And he's like, we're not doing skills yet. We're not doing opportunity attacks yet. I'm like, okay, well, they know it, though. So why aren't we? So what advice is being given to the GMs about customizing?
One is, first, you should be gauging the level of your players and start them in the level appropriate. So if you know all 14 lessons and you know they can skip 10 because they've already played that 10, that's fine. Skip those 10 and go into the next one. Really, the only piece that you have to play to get that boon is the transitions block itself. Mm-hmm. So you could skip beginner and advance, get transitions, and still have a second level character. The second piece is, this is not society. While I appreciate table uniformity for the adults, the kids, the youth GMs are much more flexible to, I want to jump 50 feet and cartwheel over this person and stab them in the back. Let's go for it.
Yes, it is.
The creative solutions and use of skills is
creative
much
solutions
more
plus, effective. Plus, isn't
and
it?
And then vice versa, if you're running one of these transitions and you get a kid who comes to the table and they obviously don't know the basics, what advice is the GM giving at that point?
Again,
suggest that they go back and do some of the earlier ones. In the transitions file itself, it has like a little block that says like, we highly recommend that you play beginner advanced, or that you have experience with a beginner box before starting this. This is designed for people with that experience.
So yeah, we're really trying to get it tailored to that level of the player that shows up, and have the GMs tailor it to them as well. And if you get the table where 4 people know what they're doing and 1 person doesn't, okay. Well, let's work with that one, ask them the basic questions, and don't get into the mechanics. Point them out. Okay, roll this dice. Don't worry about teaching everything. The big rule is have fun. As long as you're having fun, the mechanics will fit around it. So, I think they're going to kick us out here very soon. Yeah. Do we have one last question?
One last question.
Are we good?
Yes.
Are you going to be updating the beginner, advanced, or transitions files, or are those good to go?
No, they will be updated. In fact, I think one of the updates dropped today.
Yeah.
So the files that dropped today are the newest files.
Yes.
They are the legit ones. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. I get to stay in this chair. There's jelly babies for anyone that wants some candy. Please help me eat them because I don't need the whole bag.
No, I don't need jelly babies.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to NoDirectionPodcast.com.